Welcome to this month's installment of Author Audio, brought to you by Quality Progress Magazine and ASQ, the global voice of quality. My name is Nicole Adrian, and I'm the contributing editor for Quality Progress. Today I'm talking to Ross Robertson, a senior member of ASQ, who's the vice president of global quality, healthcare IT at GE Healthcare in Barrington, Illinois. Today, we're going to talk about using quality tools outside the office. Ross wrote an article for QP's Quality in the First Person column, which offers an opportunity for readers to share their personal quality stories. Ross's article, called Quality Helps Kick Cancer, and is appearing in the August issue, focuses on how he used quality tools to help maintain his mental and physical health during two cancer battles. Thank you for joining us today, Ross.
Hey, you're most welcome, Nicole. And I'd like to say thank you to the American Society of Quality for using the First Person column to focus on the issue of cancer. Cancer affects over 25% of the American population, and globally, the number may be even higher.
To start things off, tell me a little bit more about yourself, your background in quality and healthcare, what you do in your current position, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I've worked in the field of quality for the past 27 years. Prior to that, I worked in the food industry as a manufacturing engineer for 3 years. Currently, I work for General Electric Healthcare in the IT modality. I'm responsible for managing the quality systems that guide how we develop, manufacture, distribute, and service our medical device and non-medical device software products. Prior to that time, I worked in the same capacity in our magnetic resonance imaging product line. And prior to that, for other companies, I worked in blood transfusion, cardiovascular, drug product manufacturing, among other medical products. You know, personally, I feel very strongly about the field of quality. I've had the privilege of working on products and services that provide value to patients and their caregivers. But at the same time, you know, I certainly realize that these same products can cause irreversible harm. That's the nature of being in the medical industry. So I didn't take that responsibility lightly, and this really hit home with me during my two battles with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer in 1991 and 2006. Now, I have used the same products that I helped develop myself to save my own life, and it's one thing to apply and develop quality tools. It's another to deliver life-saving care for yourself. I think this is a unique opportunity that shaped the way I think about quality in my profession. You know, quality is my passion. It's what I do. It's my purpose. Developing and implementing quality tools is how I give back to the society in which I live. You know, it's really that simple.
Okay. Can you tell listeners a little bit about your column? Why did you decide to write it now? And how do you hope it helps other quality professionals, especially those who might be going through what you went through?
Well, you know, first, I don't have the secret to beating cancer. But I can let others know what worked for me and for those who helped care for me. Now, I found in my battles with cancer that using the concepts of quality, for example, defining the problem, defining action, establishing clear roles and responsibilities for myself and my caregivers, my friends and my family, measuring critical variables, and that goes defining what critical means in cancer, so going after what are the most critical variables, and having the flexibility to make real-time adjustments to the process through knowledge. Now, my hope is that sharing my experience that others who are in their own battle with cancer or who know someone who might be going through cancer may be able to learn from the processes I used during my time with cancer. And if it makes sense for them, hopefully this will make their journey a little easier.
Okay. Can you briefly explain your cancer creed, which appeared in your quality in the first person column? How did you come up with its contents?
Well, the cancer creed was a contract that I established with myself and that I shared with others. It was a plan that I expected to follow during my cancer journey. So I took that creed and I posted it at my home, my work, I gave it to my medical teams, I gave it to my friends. And when I felt that when I was going off plan, I could look at that creed and determine where I was failing. So it's a way that I could look and say, this is how I wanted to handle my cancer. Am I doing that every day? And if not, where am I failing? Where do I need to get better? And the creed I established a couple things. One was that cancer was not my fault. And so I was not going to go look or waste my time looking for a reason why it was there. I wasn't going to let cancer determine my self-worth. I knew that cancer was not the reason. I knew that I was not going to become a better person because of cancer. I knew that the type of person I was, the type of person I'd be going through the cancer. I refused to give cancer any credit for anything good that was going to happen to me because of the cancer. I resolved to stay humble during my cancer, and I think that was very important. I really made sure that this creed helped me remember that I wasn't any more important or less important than anyone else. So I still had to be a good parent, a good spouse, I had to be a good patient, I had to be a good worker. And the most important thing is I resolved to do all this in a very dignified manner. Now, that doesn't mean that I would not have bad days. And I had plenty of bad days with cancer that happens. But what dignified meant to me is that I worked very hard to bounce back from those days and difficult news. And that structure, having a creed, helped. because I could look back at that creed and say, am I doing the right things? Am I doing the right things to make sure that I actually can bounce back from difficult times? And am I doing the right things to help my medical team and my friends and family help me? And the last thing I did is I placed absolute trust in others. So I trusted my medical team to treat my cancer properly. I did a lot of research to make sure they were the right medical team. I trusted my friends and family to help me with emotional support. And I trusted in my faith to sustain me through other difficult times. But I clearly established with my medical team, my family and friends, their role and what I was going to do and how I was going to step out of the way and let them do their jobs.
Okay. How did those in your caregiver team use quality tools to help you and possibly help themselves?
Okay, well, the creed was only one part of my cancer strategy. It was just the starting point. You know, as part of my journey with cancer, I sat down with my medical team, friends and family, prior to starting any of the treatments that I had to go through. Because I told them, look, everyone has a different role and responsibility here. One of the things that happens sometimes during cancer is people aren't sure quite how to help you. And when they're not sure how to help you, they either think back and don't help you at all, or what they do is they help in ways that aren't very beneficial. So I sat back and said, look, these are the things that I need from you as my caregiver team to help me get through this. Some of this was as simple as mowing my yard. I said, if you can do this, then you've helped, and you should know you've helped, and you've played a significant role. Others, I would say, I need help on what I called chemo eve. And chemo eve was the day before my treatment. And I would say, your responsibility is to take me out and take me to a ball game or bowling or miniature golf, whatever you want, it was fine. But just get my mind off the treatment for the next day. And then other people might be bringing food over for the family. Others might be visiting me in the hospital and watching a football game. But the key is, by signing out clear roles and responsibilities, which is really one of the key tenets of a quality process, then people knew what they had to do, they did it well, they focused on that, and they felt good about what they were doing. They didn't feel guilty about not doing other things. So that really, really helped. So that's one of the things. Another thing I did is I tracked my journey using control charts. And that may sound kind of silly, but what I was looking for, just through my process, was any changes that I needed to be worried about, that I needed to tell my medical team or my friends and family about. So I might track my attitude, I might track, you know, the way that I felt during the day, I may track how much time I'm watching television, I may track the amount of time that I tried to do continual learning every day. So even though I was in the hospital, I always tried to, like, expand my knowledge in a certain area, whether that be astronomy or whether that be, you know, quality or whether it be engineering or whatever it might be. I tried to learn something new every day, and I wanted to make sure I wasn't overdoing any of those categories. So by kind of giving myself a self-rating each day, I was able to start to see trends. And when I could start to see trends, I could self-correct. I could say to my doctor, you know, I'm feeling a little depressed here. I can see it in this control chart, and I need your help. And there were times where, you know, I would sit down with my doctor and I'd say, this is the trend. I see it. You don't. What can you do to help me? And we would go from there.
Okay. Did you change the ways in which you used quality tools for your cancer battles from one diagnosis to the other? How so, and what was the reason for the change?
Well, I didn't really change the tools between my first and second cancer. They stayed pretty much the same. In fact, the creed I had for my first cancer was the same creed I had for my second cancer.
Okay.
But what did change is the way I used the tools, because I gained a lot of experience in looking at how to analyze data and use the tools, okay? I'd also developed a set of tenets that I felt were critical to being an effective quality leader that I use at work today. And I modified these tenets to fit my second journey with cancer. I also looked at refining my problem-solving process. I have my own little problem-solving process like probably everyone else does. And in that problem-solving process, I really looked at defining the problem much deeper. And I looked at defining how I'm going to actually track and trend my data, track and trend the way I was going through my cancer treatments, and look at the analysis of the data. I think the most dramatic difference between my cancers, and this is what I tell people all the time, was in 1991, when I was 32 years old, had a 18-month-old son and a 6-week-old daughter. In 1991, my goal above all else was to live, and that was what I was consumed with. And in 2006, you know, at that time, you know, we had 5 children. In 2006, my goal was completely different. My goal in 2006 was just to take this journey with dignity and honor. And I think that's an important difference, because I realized that the way I took the journey, the way I handled myself, would have a lasting impact on others, maybe way past how long I would have to live. And so I really said to myself, how do I go about taking this journey with dignity and honor? And having the quality tools, such as problem solving, such as roles and responsibilities, such as tenets of leadership, such as, you know, assigning people out roles that they could do and help me with, that helped me take that journey, what I thought was with the utmost dignity and honor. I can only hope that's what happened, but that was the goal, and I think I succeeded.
Okay. Are there any other ways you've used quality tools in your personal life, and if so, how so?
Yeah, I use the quality concepts all the time. I mean, it's a passion for me. I've been teaching at the college level as an adjunct faculty since 1996, so I use these tools to establish, you know, course content, lectures, exams, and all that kind of good stuff. You know, around my house, I use the concepts of quality in a lot of ways. You know, I can mention I have 5 children. You know, 4 in college, one's in high school still. But we're always talking about, you know, better ways to make the yard look better. I try to help my children with their study habits, and you know, really plot out the right study path. Probably do a little too much than I should. And you know, we talk about investments and college expenses and retirements. And so I really use the structured process of solving problems, defining problems, tracking and trending data in my home life, and I can only hope that some of the structure has been absorbed by some of my children, but you know, only time will tell. I think they probably laugh about it more than anything else now.
Okay. Are there any other observations you can share with listeners today?
Yeah, the experience of cancer is very difficult, and there is not one right way to manage this cancer experience. And what works for one person may not work or even be appropriate for someone else. All I can tell you is about the experiences that I've had with cancer, and how having a structured process during the cancer journey is so important. I think as quality professionals, and I think this is very important, I think we all have a responsibility to find unique ways to use the quality tools in ways that are outside the norm. It's very easy to use this control charts and this kind of stuff, you know, on a manufacturing line or a software development process, or, you know, charting the time it takes you to deliver meals in a restaurant. That's all pretty simple stuff. But where the quality tools have so much more value and can actually add value to the human experience is things like using them in the cancer experience. And we have to find ways as quality professionals to figure out how to do that and to help people outside of just, you know, problem solving in a manufacturing site. How do we help people get through illnesses? How do the quality tools help that? It's a little bit of psychology and a little bit of technique.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us about using quality tools outside the office and how they helped you through 2 battles with cancer.
Well, you're most welcome. And once again, thank you for the opportunity to share my journeys of cancer with you and your listeners. I hope that anyone who's listening who's on their own journey with cancer will find value in this column and what we talked about. Or if you know someone that's going through cancer, I hope this has been a valuable listening experience for you. I can tell you that predictability in the journey with cancer is so very important, because there's so much uncertainty in the process of just of having to deal with a cancer, and that the quality tools give you a little bit more predictability than you would have if you weren't using them. And I think in the end that makes it a bit more of a dignified process.
All right, excellent. You can find Russ's Quality in the First Person column, Quality Helps Kick Cancer, in the August issue of Quality Progress, as well as on our website, www.qualityprogress.com. Also, if you are interested, Russ has published 2 books that provide some further insight into his journey with cancer: Cancer, A Journey of Dignity and Honor, and Quality, Tenets on Leadership. Both books can be found on Amazon.com. Russ is also the co-author of the lead article for the August issue, which describes how GE Healthcare IT trained and certified 150 employees in software quality engineering to enhance its workforce's skills and boost productivity. This is Nicole Adrian, and thanks for listening.